are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're obviously going to be recapping the heartbreaking loss from Tuesday. We also got a good bit of news that I want to dive into. And then we'll get into the last game with the Pirates on this afternoon. Before we do that, let me remind you this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. I actually went live on Tuesday night watching the part of the end of the game on the Spotify Green Room app. Appreciate those who joined. He had Zach Anderson on there, had Matt Millard, also had Ethan Smith from Locked On Pirates on there, and a few others that popped in and out. So appreciate you all joining. I know I haven't been on there in a while, so try to do that more regularly here going forward. But good conversations there while watching the Brewers blow it together, unfortunately. But still enjoyed everybody who jumped on there and the conversations as well. Really good conversations there with Ethan from Locked On Pirates, talking about all kinds of stuff related to baseball and outside of baseball as well. So really good talks there. And I apologize, wasn't able to wait on Vinny to record tonight. This was a long game. I'm recording this 11:30 Central on Tuesday night. Vinny's watching him do the post-game show right now. So I apologize. I could not stay up again to wait on him to finish the post-game show. So not able to have Vinny on tonight, but hopefully be able to get him back on tomorrow. But make sure you're watching Vinny on the pre- and post-game show there. Was texting him during the game. Again, just a brutal, brutal game, long game, and you lose it. Both of these first two games in this series have been just really painfully long, honestly. But especially when you lose it and it's that long, it makes it even worse. But we'll get into the game a little bit more later. I want to start with some news, since it was kind of a downer of the game. Hopefully we'll have some good news here. Something that I thought was very exciting is that you had some 2021 draft picks making their pro debuts on Tuesday. You had Sal Frelick and Alex Baneas, their first and third round picks, got their first professional hits. So that is very exciting. I really can't wait to watch them play. I got that MLB.TV subscription, so I'm going to be putting that to good use here coming up, watching some of the recent draft picks play. So that's really awesome to see those guys getting those at bats, getting in there, and getting some, picking up some hits as well. So really cool to see for them. And again, just really excited to get to watch them and see what they can do. Also minor league related, Bryce Terang was moved up to AAA Nashville, so he continues his progress toward the major leagues. And really was talking a lot of Bryce Terang on Twitter on Tuesday, messaging with our guy over at Reviewing the Brew, talking about what to do with Bryce Terang, because I'm obviously love Willy Adames there at shortstop. So David Gaspar of Reviewing the Brew was talking about, give that man an extension, which, yeah, I mean, with the way he's playing, maybe he is the shortstop of the future for the Brewers. But then what do you do with Bryce Terang? And I think David makes a good point. I think he fits better at second just because he doesn't profile for a ton of power. And I think he's better fitted defense. I think he can play the position at shortstop defensively. I think he's athletic enough to do so. But I think he does probably profile better as a second baseman. But I love Colton Wong there as too. I know Wong is only under guaranteed contract for one more year, but could be around for a couple more, and possibly beyond that as well. But I think that's probably where Terang ends up, and these things typically work themselves out. But Terang moving up to Nashville, so he's knocking on the door. You won't be able to hold him back much longer, so you kind of have to make a decision on what they're going to do with him. We'll see if they start moving him around the infield at Nashville, trying him at different positions, finding a way to get him on the roster here pretty soon. I mean, I wouldn't think this year, but definitely next season he should be pushing for big league playing time. And then there were a ton of roster moves happening on Tuesday as well. The Brewers claimed right-handed pitcher Sal Romano off waivers from the New York Yankees. He's pitched with the Reds and the Yankees this year, has a 4.70 ERA in 23 innings with 15 strikeouts. Most of you are probably very familiar with Romano and his time in Cincinnati, where he spent several years there, first as a starter, then in the bullpen. The Brewers are just desperate for bullpen arms right now. I mean, we've seen it with John Axford, now Romano, with Axford going to the IL, which is another bit of news on Tuesday as well. He went on the IL with a right elbow injury. Said more testing is required to know the exact extent of the injury and how severe it is. Hopefully it's not very severe and we can get another outing from Axford. Definitely don't want it to end the way that it did there in Milwaukee. So really hoping that he can get back out there and have a clean inning as he deserves. But he is on the IL for now. Angel Perdomo was recalled to replace him on the roster, and he got to pitch on Tuesday. Was not great outing for him necessarily, but I do like the arm of Perdomo. I've talked about it before. I think he's somebody that could potentially be a high leverage back end of the game type of reliever with the stuff that he has, but unfortunately gave up a couple of soft hits on Tuesday, led to some runs there. And then Keston Hira was placed on the COVID IL, which is just kind of crazy since he's been optioned out, but obviously was with the team when all that was going around. But what that does is it opens up a spot on the 40-man roster, allows the Brewers to add somebody else to it without having to DFA somebody. But Hira's on the COVID IL, which really kind of stinks because I want him down there in AAA getting at-bats and not able to do that, obviously, while he's on the IL. So hopefully that won't last too long. He'll be able to get back out there and get some regular at-bats and hopefully figure things out. Same is true for Christian Yelich. He begins his re-entry testing today. If all goes well, he'll work out on Thursday, which is an off day for the Brewers, and then potentially could be ready over the weekend. And like with Keston, you're hoping Yelich figures some things out, particularly with the power department. We've all been waiting for that to come this year. So hopefully he does that in the last couple of months here. But that is the news from Tuesday. Again, a good bit to get in there. I haven't done a lot of minor league stuff here lately just because there's been so much going on with the trade deadline and all of that. So I do plan to have another minor league recap coming your way later this week, probably on Friday. We'll see how the game goes on Wednesday. I may do it on Thursday as well. But I'll get back into more of the minor league stuff here now that things have kind of calmed down. But next, we will get into Tuesday's game. A lot of stuff to really unfold there. You got a no-hitter going and then a blow-up by the bullpen and an extra innings, a loss there. So a lot of things I want to break down. Before we do that, let me remind you this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Lockdown Brewers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. And follow me at shortstopball in the app to be notified the next time my room goes live. So again, like I said, a difficult I don't want to say heartbreaking loss because, I mean, the Brewers are in a really good spot in the division. This isn't going to crumble any dreams or hopes of this season for that matter. But, I mean, like me and Vinny have talked about, you got to win these games that you're supposed to win against the Pirates, who are not a good team, but they showed some fight in them on Tuesday for sure to come back and win that game. They get the runs in the extra innings, which we'll talk about here in a minute, and get the 8-5 win. But kind of like Eric Lauer on Monday, I thought Hauser was honestly just okay. Certainly not dominant, even though he had a no-hitter going through 6 1/3. But he also had 5 walks and just 4 strikeouts. I know this Pirates team doesn't strike out a lot. He did have 7 swings and misses, 4 of them coming on the four-seamer, which set around 92, 93. But he did max out at 95.7 miles per hour on that four-seam, which is really, really good for Adrian. You know, again, like with Lauer and Anderson, he's going to give you quality innings. We've seen that enough out of him, you know, this season to know that. I understand the decision to bring him out. I was texting with Vinny. He said, I know you're just going to crush counsel on the podcast for this decision, but I'm actually not. I agree with the decision to pull Hauser there. Like I said, he had walked 5 batters. That, to me, negates your opportunity to go for a no-hitter when you're over 100 pitches with, you know, 7-8 outs to get still. I mean, I don't blame counsel for pulling him there, especially, I mean, this is a game against the Pirates when you got a big lead in the division. There was really no reason to push Adrian there, who was over 100 pitchers, had just, you know, he walked a batter previously, nearly gave up a hit with that the last batter that he got out. So I actually was okay with him pulling it out. I could understand as a fan why you wouldn't be and why you want to see him go for the no-hitter. But I thought it was just big that Hauser got through 6 innings. I mean, honestly, I was watching the game on mute because I was on the app. So I usually have to mute the TV while I do that. So I wasn't even really completely aware that he had a no-hitter just because I kept seeing, you know, runners on base. So, you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't, I wouldn't consider it necessarily a dominant outing by Hauser in any means. Yeah, it'd have been cool to get a no-hitter out of him, but again, it was 6 1/3. He was at 104 pitches. I mean, he would have had to throw at least 30 more pitches to try to get a no-hitter if that were going to happen. So I didn't blame counsel at all for pulling him there. But with what happened and being a fan and really wanting your guy to go for a no-hitter, I can understand some frustration there. My maybe frustration was with who counsel went with after pulling out Lauer there. Daniel Norris, I talked about it when they traded for him. He has not been very good at best right now. He is a loogie, a guy that's a left-handed pitcher that's going to come in and get lefties out. But he's just not, he's not a high leverage. Not that this, it wasn't even a high leverage situation when he brought him in, but I thought the better play there would have been to go straight to Curtis. And I know Curtis hasn't exactly been lights out since joining the Brewers, but I do think he is obviously better than Norris, and I thought that would have been the right call to try to get out of that seventh inning. Again, it wasn't even a jam when Norris came in. You had a runner on with one out. He immediately comes in, gives up the no-hitter with a hit to Polanco, and gives up a double, walks a batter, and counsel got him out of there as soon as he could. I think if it weren't for the 3-batter minimum, he probably would have got pulled a batter earlier, but then Curtis comes in, and really, this is the play of the game, and I hate to be harsh on Adames because of how much we love him on here and what he means to this Brewers team and how big he is, but, I mean, if you want to circle a play here, it's the ball that Brian Reynolds hit at Adames, and Adames boots it and doesn't get anybody out, and, look, the ball was hit pretty hard. I mean, wouldn't register as a hard hit ball. I think it was like 88 miles an hour or something like that. It hit pretty well, but it was kind of a sinking line drive. It short hopped Adames, kind of played it off his body. And I get that. That's fine. That's a tough play to make. I understand that. The error to me in all of that is that after he bobbled it, he still tried to rush to get 2 outs to try and still turn the double play. When for me, he just needed to collect himself, you know, grab the ball, toss it to Wong there, and make sure that they get the out at second. You know, they do that, and they probably get out of that jam right there down, or still up a couple of runs. But, you know, Adames is that type of player. He has that much confidence in himself You know, he wants to make every play, make the highlight plays. So he felt like, you know, he booted it. Let me make up for this and still get this double play. When honestly, he should have just picked it up and gotten the sure out at second. And I think the Brewers probably get out of that inning still leading. As it happens, that wasn't the case. He doesn't make the play there. And it comes back to hurt them with Hoy Park getting a double. I don't even know who Hoy Park is, but he got a double to put the Pirates on top 5-4. After that, bases clearing, it really just kicked off the wall there. Really just kind of unfortunate for Avi out there in right field, cleared the bases and gave the Pirates the lead. So that to me was the biggest play of this game. Adames booting that ball and not getting anything, not getting at least one out there. But that really was a huge momentum shift in the game, obviously, with the Pirates taking the lead on the very next batter. So I don't put that wholly on Curtis. But again, the decision to pull Hauser, I understand. I probably would have gone with Curtis in that situation, though. You go with Curtis there. You go with Boxberger in the eighth if you need to, or Devin Williams in the eighth and Boxberger in the ninth. You know, however you want to sort that out. I thought that probably would have been the best plan there to go with out of the bullpen. But bullpen options are very limited right now. You have to understand that with all the pitchers on the IL. We're bringing in guys like Saul Romano and John Axford to try to just get arms out there right now. So the options are limited. So, again, I'm usually pretty hard on Council, but in this situation, I actually don't really – I think he probably made the best decisions here. To pull Hauser, to go with the arms that he did. Again, hindsight being what it is, I probably would have gone with Curtis instead of Norris there in that situation. But like I said, when he brought in Norris, it really wasn't a game-threatening situation, but three batters later, it certainly was. And then you brought in Curtis. But other than that, I don't really fault Council for any of the decisions that he made on Tuesday. On the offensive side of things, Avisel Garcia is amazing. I talk about it all the time. He was my first half MVP for this club. He's been a rock in the lineup all year. He along with Omar Narvaez, but Avi comes up with three RBI hits in this game. The last one, he had a huge one to tie the game back up at five. I mean, he's just been steady producer in the lineup all year. I know I say it over and over, but you look at his stats, he's hitting 270 with an 800 OPS. I mean, he's overall the numbers, you know, we call him above average, you know, league player, but I think he's been more than that to this lineup, to this team, what he's done all year long. I know guys like Adames have come in and, you know, taken the mantle as a spark plug and what Escobar's done since he's come over. But for me, it's been Avi all year long, just being a real staple in the lineup and getting the job done. Speaking of Escobar, he almost got it done. I don't know if that ball is going to leave or not. I haven't really seen like a side angle, but he almost had the walk-off home run in the ninth, and that would have been certainly exciting. But Polanco made a really good catch at a wall, and what a game for Gregory Polanco. We were talking about him with Ethan Smith on the Spotify Green Room app, and Polanco was somebody at the beginning of the year that you could have just kicked off the Pirates team, and I don't think anybody would have batted an eye. But he's been playing really good baseball for the Pirates lately. He had some big hits in this game, had a couple of hits and a couple of walks on base four times. You know, got the hit in the 10th inning as well to get them on the board, and had that catch in the bottom of the ninth again, possibly robbing Escobar of a walk-off home run there. So, unfortunately, a good game for Polanco. He was really big in that game for the Pirates and helping them get the win. Really, nothing to talk about in extra innings there. The Pirates, I guess it is worth mentioning that Hardy almost got out of this. You know, obviously, you start with the runner on second. The Pirates decided to move him over, and then Hardy got the big strikeout that he needed to give him a chance to get out of the inning. Or I'm sorry, he got a pop-up, so you got two outs without getting the runner in. But then, like I said, Polanco got that weak single to the shortstop and was just able to beat it out to drive in the run. And then you get a single, and then you walk Michael Perez to face the Pirates' best hitter in Brian Reynolds, and you could almost see that coming. And again, that's just, I mean, it was a pitch off the plate. Reynolds just reaches out, pokes it into the outfield, drives in a couple runs, and really kind of puts the game on ice. Brewers weren't able to to match them in the bottom of the 10th. So unfortunate result there in extras. We'll come back and talk about Wednesday's game really quickly. Before we do that, let me remind you, this show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. I tell you about them all the time. Built Bar has a wide variety of flavors, and it's not just your regular flavors like chocolate. They have coconut, almond toffee, mint, peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry, which are some of my favorites that I'm trying right now. But they just have a ton of really interesting, cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that I really enjoy, they're not hard as a rock like a lot of other protein bars out there. I can't stand trying to eat those protein bars that nearly break my teeth. You won't get that with Built Bar. They have a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew. It's easy to get down. They're good for you as well. Most of them only have about 5 net carbs. You can have them for workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, which I do sometimes, or just a snack like they mostly are for me. You can eat them anytime. Again, they're packed with protein. Can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So rolling into Wednesday's game, got a quick turnaround here with the afternoon game on Wednesday. So hopefully you're listening to this on your car ride to work in the morning, or whenever you're getting up, walking on the treadmill. That's what I like to do, listen to all my Locked On podcasts while I'm walking on the treadmill. It's 90 degrees out here in Alabama. You can't walk outside anymore. But hopefully you're getting the podcast in early, getting prepped for this afternoon game. You got Freddy Peralta going up against Steven Brault of the Pirates, who has been really good for them this year, a 3.38 ERA, 42 and two-thirds innings, 38 strikeouts, a 1.20 whip. So Brault, good arm, good left-handed arm for the Pirates, been solid this year. And we all know that Freddy Peralta has been really good for the Brewers all year long, so expecting him to come out and throw a good game, hopefully be able to go deep so that we don't have to get into that bullpen after having to use a lot of arms on Tuesday's game. Hopefully we get a long, great outing from Freddy Peralta. I'm going to go ahead and say it. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. I'm going to go with 1 earned run and all of that, but I think it could get that kind of start from Freddy on Wednesday. I think the offense definitely gets it done. They bounce back and take this series. I would be shocked and somewhat upset if the Brewers don't at least win this series. That would be highly disappointing. But with Freddy Peralta on the mound Wednesday afternoon, I think the Brewers definitely get it done. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball. Also, make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.